Thanks for coming, everyone. Wow, what an amazing crowd. It's so good to see you all here. First of all, I want to welcome back the amazing guys and girls who just returned from their Israel Reloaded trip last week, everyone. It was a real pleasure being with you guys. We have, I know you don't realize, but on the count of two very important people who aren't listening. And the reason I'm listening is because they're Israeli and they don't listen. I'd like to welcome, actually, a very important member of Israel, actually. He's a minister, and he works for the Ministry of Diaspora Affairs. His name is Dvir Kahana, and he's here with his friend Yaakov Katz. They're visiting, and they're very involved in all Jewish communities around the entire world. Really, all diaspora. We're very grateful for everything you do on behalf of Israel and the Jewish people. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so the topic this evening is 7 dating resolutions for the new year. 7 dating resolutions for the new year. There's a seat back here, there's a couple of seats over here, and one down here as well. We were not expecting this many people wanting to get married. I apologize. I had no idea. I thought people were done. I didn't realize. Okay, so the dating we're talking about this evening is not the dating for having fun. I mean, fun is a great thing, and if you go out with a guy or a girl, we all want to have fun, obviously. But the dating we're talking about, to be very specific and very exact, is dating in order to get married. When you're 18, 19, it's understandable that the dating you do is in order... By the way, do you like this thing, by the way? It's a new thing, by the way. It's my Vovo. The dating we do when 18, 19 is meant to be very different to the dating we do when we're 22, 23, when we're 27, 28, when we're 30, 31, and on. It's meant to be a different kind of dating. The problem is, most people are dating the same way in their late 20s, mid to late 20s, and early 30s, as they do when they're 18, 19, 20. What we're going to do this evening, with your permission, is we're going to try to maybe change the paradigm a little bit. Because my job as a rabbi here, working with young professionals, I would say 90 to 95% of my time is counseling people towards their dating life, towards getting married. And I've been very, very grateful to have performed 80 weddings as well. Many of those guys, as I mentioned before, I've actually dragged down by the ear to the chuppah. Okay? Now, I'm going to be picking on guys and picking on girls this evening, just so you're ready for that experience. But what I've described to you actually this evening is really important, and hopefully very useful information you'll be able to take with you into your dating life, which I know for most of you is an absolute nightmare. I've heard all the stories. I know what you're going through. And what I want to do is make your life a little bit easier. That's my goal. I want to talk to you this evening, and this is going to be the theme of this evening's dating class, about a disease. And this disease is affecting everyone here. I myself am affected by it. I'm nervous about my children getting it, but everyone here has this disease. It's called TMC. TMC is the disease that everyone here is suffering from, and our parents did not suffer from this. Our grandparents definitely did not suffer from this, but everyone here is. It's called too much choice. Too much choice, too many options. We're all suffering from it. Because dating used to be, you'd meet someone, you'd hear about someone, you'd meet them on a trip, a vacation, a family member, a friend, you'd hear about them. Now you have Facebook, JDateMatch.com, you have Tinder, you have Hinge, you've got it all. I know Hinge because I have 3,500 followers on Facebook, so I actually end up being the hinge between different Jewish people. If I tell you how many times I get emailed, so what's he like, what's she like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who the hell these people are. They just friended me. What do you want from me, you know? But sometimes I can. There was very interesting, listen very carefully, there was very interesting research experiment done by a lady from Columbia University. Her name was Sheena Inyegar. And she did the following. She set up in a supermarket 6 type of jams for free tasting. You know the free tasting? Of course you do, you're Jewish, right? So why else do I go to Costco, right? For like a free meal, you know? So you go for the free, and she said that with these 6 types of jams, she found that 40% of the people that passed by were willing to taste the jams, And then 30% of those 40 bought a jam. Okay? Let's follow those numbers again. We have 6 types of jams. We have 40 people who pass by who are willing to taste them. Of that 40%, 30% were willing to actually buy one of the jams. She then upped up the jam, actually. I just thought of that. It's good, right? She upped the jam and turned it from 6 jams to 24 types of jams. And she said that the number of people willing to taste went up to 60%. But only 3% were willing to buy. That is a 10 times less reduction from a much smaller choice. Once the options went up, the amount of people willing to taste also increased, because we all like to taste some sweet jam, don't we? But unfortunately, the amount of people willing to buy it went exponentially down. We have a problem. What are we going to do? So what I do this evening, I'm going to share with you 7 ideas. By the way, I don't have 7 ideas. I have 700. 7,000. But I have a social life, and I've got to get out of here. And you people have to get out of here as well. So we're going to crunch down what I consider to be the 7 top ones that from my counseling, talking, working with people who are in the dating world, in the engaged world, in the about-to-get-married world, and post-marriage as well. It doesn't stop, but that's not for now. That's for a different program we have over here, starting very, very soon for young married couples. So the 7 I want to look, talk to this evening are, number 1, don't be too picky. Now, I know you've heard this all before. I'm sure everyone's told you this. Come on, Rabbi. Everyone tells me. My mother tells me that. My grandmother tells me that. Don't be too picky. Unfortunately, it is still a problem. And most people are looking for Mr. and Mrs. Right. And actually, Mr. and Mrs. Good Enough may actually be sufficient. And I want to give you a percentage over here. And I'm going to shock most of you. I'm going to show you a chart, which I like to show during this class. And the chart looks like this. This is what everybody needs to do to improve their dating life. I won't have them poured behind me, but if you can see, I have over here 3 columns. At the top of each column, I have different words. The words at the top column are must have. The second column says important to have. In the third column, it says bonus. Now, this is a chart that I made up myself. And I'll give you some of the ideas that we can put. These are just examples which people I have found put inside the important column. Below a certain age. Okay. Girls, you want a guy who's under 60. And because that's who you're being recommended on the website you visit. I know how it goes. And is anyone his forced marriage? What's the big deal, right? But a certain age, ability to control anger, college degree, that's important, obviously, that's a must-have. Ability to be a good father, how we determine that is not for now. These are must-haves. But then you've got to say, you know what? There's something called important to have. Love the outdoors, not too much TV, tolerance of my mother. You know, I think that's a bonus, actually, thinking about it, okay? Control of bad language, whatever it is, you have your own. And finally, you have the bonus column. Loves my parents, from the East Coast like me, sings well, similar background. All these things are fine, but they're a bonus. The problem we have is, many people I've found, is they put everything in the must-have list. And you know what? As you, excuse me for saying it, get older, start to move it out a little bit. It's okay to massage things out and say things that are important to me at 18, maybe not so important at 25, 26. I really recommend people sit down and actually type up such a list. And you can send it to me if you want. And you can send it to your friends and get feedback on it, okay? We'll talk about advisors and friends a little later. That's a very important thing that most people are missing in their dating life. We're going to get there a little bit later, okay? Number 2, and this I'm going to spend a bit more time on. People don't know how to date. Let me explain. There's something called being respectful and considerate. I hear this endlessly from so many people. Let me give you an example. You go on a date, and you meet a guy who someone recommended you meet. You meet a girl that everyone tells you you have to hang out with. You have 24 hours to make a decision whether you want to see them again. Within 24 hours, they must get a phone call. Ideally, a text is not as good, but it's acceptable. An email is below that. So let's go to the order over here. There's a phone call. That's number 1. Visiting them may be too much. But at least at least a phone call. I'm being very serious, by the way. I'm joking, but this is really important information. You cannot leave, as we say, people hanging for days and weeks on end. It's not respectful. Now, I have a question to ask you at this point, which is really important. Okay? I'm assuming everyone here, I'm making an assumption, wants to get married. Is that a fair assumption? Don't tell me. But I'm going to assume that all of you here want to get married. Okay? Why? Why do you want to get married? It's crazy. He's nuts. She's crazy. It's the most insane thing you're ever going to do. You're happy. You eat when you want to eat. You watch what you want to watch. You hang out. You've got a girlfriend. Everything's fantastic. It's my girlfriend, my boyfriend. I've got a date tomorrow night. I've got another date 3 days' time. It's all fantastic, right? You put your underwear where you want. You want to leave it in the sink? That's okay. You want to leave your socks in the toilet? That's also good. It's okay, you know? When I was in college, I had the same problem. Socks I had to let you peel off the floor after 3 days of being crusted to the carpet. That's all right. And suddenly you enter into, I don't care what they tell you on TV and in the movies, insanity. It's complete insanity. Your life was so free, what are you going to do? And now you're suddenly living with this guy, or with this girl, pick on the guys for a second. You're living with this guy, right, who scratches himself with his keys. Drools, you know what I'm saying? Living with this girl, I've been with girls as well, living with this girl who just doesn't leave me alone. I just want to sit in the bathroom for 2 hours. What's the big deal? I don't get it. But the question is a serious question. Why would anyone volunteer to give up their life in order to get married? Is that a fair question? But the answer, by the way, is a really important answer. And hopefully give you a completely different dynamic, not into marriage, but into dating. Because as we said at the beginning, the idea of dating is to get you into marriage. That's why you date. That means the person you're with, on a date, nobody else exists. And this is the person you're going to marry, until you prove otherwise and you break up. I'm going to talk about how to break up as well. But that's the idea. You're meant to be discovering things about the person you're with to try to figure out whether this is the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. So why do it? Why go through this whole thing of dating? And then, by the way, it gets crazy. You see, you go from dating into engaged, meeting the family, and then organizing a wedding, which is the worst. You go into creating like family lists, who do we invite, and the cake, and the tablecloths, and where we put Auntie Barbara, and Uncle Harry's at the wrong table, there's a draft, they're complaining, they're flying in. It's like, what happened? It was like, us having a good time, and suddenly our parents are involved, and money's involved. By the way, it's meant to be this way. The whole thing was designed to include that. Why get married? What's the answer? If you're going to date, you might as well know what the hell you're doing, you know what I'm saying? Why? To decrease the amount of rent you pay? To lower the taxes? Which happens? To get child benefit? Have 15 kids, you're going to be rich. Amen. I'll tell you the answer, according to Judaism. Judaism is very, very clear. The idea of getting married is in order to improve your character traits. That's why it was created. Not your spouse's character traits. They're going to have to work on their own stuff. They're going to have to figure their own junk out. You know what I'm saying? The reason we get married is to improve ourselves. That, says Jewish tradition, say the rabbis, is why we have this incredible thing called marriage. To help us become better people. Just like two diamonds sharpen themselves against each other. Just like two knives will sharpen themselves against each other. So too marriage. That's what you're trying to do. Improve who you are. Be a good and better person. Now, does this always happen? No, it doesn't. Actually, most marriages, as I'm sure most of you realize, end in absolute and abject failure. The divorce rates here in America are, anyone know?
60.
Over 50%, absolutely. I have it, this is pretty strange, actually. I just found this one. This is from University of Virginia. The statistics are eye-opening. From 1970 to 2008, the U.S. marriage rate has declined, as of divorce rates. They're actually working out that between 2020 and 2034, if we carry on the way we are, nobody's going to be married anywhere.
pretty extraordinary.
I doubt it. Someone's got to remain married. There's got to be one sucker. There's got to be one girl who's still willing to stick at it, you know what I'm saying?
But most of the time it fails. And I believe the reason which I have failed, by the way, out of all the weddings I've done, as I said, maybe 80 weddings, my divorce rate among people I deal with, I'm happy to say, is less than 5%. It's pretty good. Because I was involved. No, because I put them through a course, they have to learn. But the idea is that most people who did get divorced didn't have to. They chose it because they didn't work on it. Big statement, I know. And I believe, and I can't prove this to you, but I do believe this in the heart of my heart, that most people who do get divorced probably didn't have to. Had they put the right effort in from the beginning, they probably could have remained married. Let's get back to number two. When you date, you have to be considerate. Because that is the paradigm that's going to help you realize if you're meant to be married as an individual. So if you're with someone on a date and they are being inconsiderate to you or to anyone else, that's a red flag. Because I want to figure out whether this is the person who can help you become who you need to become. You know, the Torah, the first mitzvah of the Torah, by the way, is to get married. You didn't realize that. Out of 613, we begin with this idea. And he gives a very beautiful expression. I mentioned this before, those who heard it before, I apologize, but I must tell you again. He says the idea gives you the reason to get married. Very unusual. Torah doesn't usually give you reasons for mitzvah. That comes in the oral tradition, the Talmud, the Gemara, the Midrash, the other sources. But the Torah itself says, I'll tell you why you should get married. Because you need to become basar echad, one flesh. It needs to become like one. So I always give the example, which I like. Imagine you're at home, and you're drinking, and you dropped a cup, and you see someone do this. Stupid hand! What are you doing? Why'd you drop that? But you're walking along and you trip up with your right foot and you see kicking my right foot on the left foot. What do you do that for? What would you think? You think I am smoking the wrong cigarettes. You'd be absolutely right. I'm not medicating enough. Okay? And the reason is because it's me! Why would I hit me? You know? It's the same thing. The idea is that if I become one with my partner, which is the ultimate goal, it takes time, it's really tough, how can I hurt myself? Why would I want to do that? And the Torah also tells us, you've got to find your Ezer Kenegdo. Ezer means your helper, another name Ezra means your helper. Kenegdo means opposite you, facing you, opposing you. It's contradiction. Either you're helping me, or you are opposing me. And the answer is because we help ourselves by someone opposing us. I'll say that again. We help ourselves by someone opposing us. So hear me well. You see, the way most people date is to have fun. Oh, this was a great guy. We went out last night. We had such fun. He's with the restaurant. He paid even, you know what I'm saying? And he called me the 3 or 4 hours. Oh, he's so much fun. I love this guy. He's so awesome. And he goes to JC. He went on a reasonable road trip. And our psychiatrist had the same name. And he likes dogs. I like dogs. And it's all so good. But that's not marriage. That is insanity, isn't it? Because that's all about me. I'm having good fun. But the idea of the crossover from dating to marriage is a big shift. Because dating, the way we date nowadays, is all about the I, and the marriage is the us. And dating is the me, and marriage is the we. So that transition, one to the other, is becoming a very, very difficult bridge to cross. Are you following? So what we need to do is, I know it sounds weird, but try to create a marriage scenario in our dating. Try to figure out what's it going to be like. So your dating becomes like marriage. Whatever you like complaining, like who's going to change the diapers. You don't have to go that far. But you're going to try to create a reality in your dating life that's going to set you up for a win in the marriage life. But you think about, I may not marry this person. That's okay. Someone will. So you're helping them for the next person. Not a bad thing. What's the best way to find someone, by the way? I mentioned this before as well, I apologize, but I have to say this. You know the way you're really meant to find someone, the optimal way, is you're meant to date someone, 1, 2, 3 dates, that's usually enough, by the way, and then you'll date them, and then you break up, because it's not right. But you're like, you know what? He's a nice guy. She's a nice girl. I got a friend for you. And you might have set them up. That's the best way to find someone. We're going to discuss this. Actually, one of the great resolutions you make this year is try to set up friends. That's the way it's actually meant to be. What's happened is, unfortunately, is that people date so maliciously, so selfishly, that they date for 1, 2, 3 years, and after that, they wouldn't set up this guy or girl if you paid them $1 million because they hate each other. So you haven't created a friend, you've got another enemy. Defriend, 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 defriend. But it's maybe the exact opposite. What you're meant to try to do is say, oh, you're a great guy, you're just not for me. You're like such a beautiful, fantastic girl, but you're not for me. But I've got a great guy and girl for you. That's what you're meant to do.
Which takes us to our next resolution, which is help single friends.
You're thinking, help them, I'm going to help me. I'm single, I ain't got time for them. I want to share with you another idea in Judaism, and it goes like this.
What you give out, Hashem, God, will give you back.
If you take consideration for other people in a certain area, a specific certain area that you're struggling with, God will come back and bless you in order to find the right person. Everyone needs a box. A box that they're going to put names of people they want to set up. It could be a physical box. I like to call it a match box. And certain people that you're going to focus on. Okay? Some people you're going to try to set other people up. Now, I know it's difficult. I personally am terrible at setting people up. I set people up and they take it as an offense. So one second. You set me up with a guy who's got one leg and one wooden leg, right? No head. And half a head. So we've got to try and work, but you're working on it. Give people encouragement. Help them. Talk to them. I know it's tough. You're a great girl. You're a great guy. I got someone for you. You know, it used to be I gave this class 10 years ago. People didn't want to hear this. Right? They want to talk about it. Now people walk up to me. Hi, nice to meet you. Find me a husband. You know, people like that. I'm like, I don't know who you are. It's usually my wife. You know, I don't know what to... Well, we got to try. That's a joke, right? Usually my wife. So what we're going to try is give it... So this idea actually goes back to Abraham and Sarah. We're told that Abraham and Sarah tried very, very hard to help others. And because of that, in a certain area, because of that, they were blessed. And they were given the opportunity to find and receive a child themselves. Because Sarah, if you remember, was not able to have children because they helped someone else in a certain way, which is related to having children. They were blessed first. And the idea stands. If you pray for someone else, you help someone, you go out of your way, it will come through you. The blessing will come through you in order to get to them. It's not a small thing. Okay? It's not a small thing. So we did number one. Don't be too picky. Number two, be considerate. Back to the considerate thing one more time. Would you ever imagine the following scenario? You're on a date, and there's a guy there, they all girls, and he goes to the bathroom, and you go into his pocket, and you take out his wallet, and you want to check through, see what's going on, and there's a $50 bill, you take it out, put it in your pocket. Would you ever do that? You're on a date, guys, and there she goes to the bathroom, she leaves her pocketbook over there, and you're like, hey, why not? You start rummaging through, see what's down there, flinging stuff out, you know, what's happening in there? Ooh, that's interesting, you know. You're putting things out, and then you see $100 bill and a credit card. You're like, hello, I'll have that. She thinks that I'm paying for dinner. I don't think so. And put in your pocket. Would you ever do that? Don't answer that question. You never do that, because that's called stealing. Well done. Everyone's awake. I'll tell you something very interesting according to Jewish thought. Stealing things is terrible. Do you know what's worse than stealing things? Time. Stealing time is the worst. Why is stealing time worse than stealing things? Because things you can return. Money is returnable. Pocketbooks are returnable. But time isn't. If it's gone, it's gone. I like to call this the cut them loose. At some point, you've just got to let them go. Now, what I found is, and you can disagree with me if you want, I find some people will just keep dating the same person on, and 6 months, and it's a year, year and a half, and it's 2 years. And I said, but it's not, they know it's not right. They'll tell you, it's not, it's not, it's not. And why don't I break up with them? I don't want to hurt their feelings. No. You don't want to hurt your feelings by going through the discomfort of breaking up with this individual. You're actually being extremely selfish. No, I'm not. I don't want to hurt them. They're so happy with me. Who wouldn't be? You know? Because I'm Mr. and Mrs. Perfect. You've got to cut them loose. It's part of consideration. You wouldn't steal their things. Don't steal their time. It's a very important resolution. People carry on their relationships way too long, dragging on their exes like a dead dog. Dragging them along. can't do that. Cut them loose. That's part of the being considerate as well.
Number, where are we up to? We did too picky, be considerate, help single friends. Okay, here's an unpopular one.
And I'm going to say it, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. You cannot date 3 or 4 people at the same time. Just like you can't be married to the same 3 or 4 people at the same time, right? Maybe you can in various states in America. Maybe you can in certain countries, cults and sects. But Judaism frowns upon multiple marriages, okay?
It's enough with one wife and one husband and one mother-in-law
that you don't need to increase the pack. So too, this multiple dating disease that has sprouted out of, I don't know, over the past number of years, I've started to see it before. Let me be very clear what I mean by this, okay? And this is going to help us with the TMC, remember this? Okay, too many choices. You see, if you date too many people at the same time, what you can end up doing is comparing. And compare leads to despair. Right? Because there's always someone better. Now, it could be that you need to go somewhere, something happened, you said yes to one person, another person. It could be that you have 1, 2 first dates with a couple of people. It happens. And that's understandable. But at one point, someone's got to go. Don't they? I mean, I know people who go on dates, and they're having a conversation with a guy, and he will turn around and actually say, funny, because my girlfriend told me that, like, I'm sorry, what did you say? My girlfriend, you know. And they tell me this, and the guy's like, and they're completely incredulous, and the guy's like, yeah, sure. I don't know if it happens the other way around, but I've had to. This is a problem. This is not fair. This is not nice. It's not good for you, and it's not good for them either. So there we have now reached our another resolution for the new year. It's okay to date one person at a time. Okay? You're going to focus on this one person. And that means, to be very, very clear with you, that you're not going to respond. Ideally, close down the J-date account once you're with a person. Okay, give it a date or two, and then you close it down. It's okay, they'll take you back. It's not a private club. If you pay the money, they will allow you to date more Neanderthals, you know what I'm saying? They will open up the packet for all of you. But unfortunately, people start dating and they open up and you suggest going, yep, and off they go on more dates. It's not good for you. Trust me, I'm a rabbi. I know what I'm talking about. Okay? You want to have clarity in your life. Who doesn't want clarity in their lives? And when it comes to clarity of dating or to get married, it's only going to help you. You don't want multiple marriages and spouses. You don't want multiple relationships at the same time. Okay. By the way, what's the Hebrew word? Let's talk Hebrew for a second. It's going to help us a little bit as well. Hebrew is a very, as I always mention, spiritual language. It's going to reveal certain depths to us. What's the Hebrew word for marriage? Anybody know? Those who are on the trip with me should know. It's kiddushin. Kiddushin is actually how you describe marriage. Kiddushin. Yeah? And the word kiddushin, as most of you know, is related to the word kadosh. Kadosh means holy. All right, holy. And that word appears a number of times. I just came back from Israel with a wonderful group of young, beautiful men. Woo! And we were in the holy city of Jerusalem. Right. It's the holy city. And we were speaking Hebrew to the soldiers. And he's so cute. Our soldiers are beautiful. Right? Isn't that amazing? They're like good looking and handsome. How can you explain this to me? When I picture a Jew in Israel that looked like a big, handsome soldier, and I picture a Jew in New York that Woody Allen. What the heck happened that they're growing into those handsome soldiers over there and the little 5 foot, except you, Harry, 5 foot Jews? Michael Homunculus is walking around like New York. How's that happened over there? Okay? So. Was I? Have got my thing. We want to speak a holy language. Lashon Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh, it's called. We want to be in the holy land of Israel. Jerusalem is holy. We want to celebrate the Shabbat, which is holy as well. What makes it? They've got to be connected the same way describing it. And the idea is holy is separate, distinct, apart, better, not the same. When we're separating ourselves out, listen very carefully. When you get married, it's a public affair. Doesn't have to be, you're in a private party. But it's a public affair. Everyone knows. Everyone knows that you are for him and he's for you, and that's it. And everything else is closed out. So you do it publicly. It's unique. We're different. We're now separate. Separate makes holy. And by the way, in order to have the true holiness, there must be preparation. All kedusha, all holiness must have, by definition, hachana, preparation. Just like Shabbat isn't just the gift, you've got to prepare for the experience. You don't just start a business, you prepare for the experience. The more preparation, the holier it becomes. Marriage is no exception. I'm going to separate myself out. I'm going to prepare myself for that experience, and it becomes a holy thing. But it's got to be one-on-one. It can't be one-on-five or one-on-12. You're going to have to focus on one person at one time. No multiple dating. And finally, is this seven? No. Five. I've got to mention two. Can you do another 5 more minutes, and then we'll finish. I want to talk to you about something which is very painful for everyone here. I'll give you an example, okay? I want to talk to you about rejection. People are very... Our generation, all of us, suffer from a real disease, and I'm not joking here, which our parents, I don't think, had, or definitely not our grandparents, and that is chronic low self-esteem. One of the symptoms of that is fear. Fear, real pachad, say people. Fear of rejection. We don't like to be rejected. I think our grandparents, if you think about it, they were just stronger. They seemed more thick-skinned. Maybe inside they weren't, but on the outside they gave the impression they were able to, you know what I'm saying? Like, take arrows and shots that we couldn't. In our generation, we have this fear of being rejected. I want to share an idea with you, and I want to take this with you. Check this out. Put your hands up here if you've ever been rejected in relationships and dating. Put your hands up. Have you ever had a dating situation you felt rejected? That was pretty much everyone, and the rest of you are in denial. So we all have. How did it feel? Is that a nice experience? No, because it's not. You come back, you feel miserable, you start crying, you got a snot bubble, right? You got a mascara, crying into your pillow. It's a miserable experience, okay? And sometimes, jokes aside, this can debilitate a person for weeks, months. There's someone here this evening, I'm very close, and she allowed me to tell a story. I mentioned her name. I'm not going to, however. But she's someone who dated someone for 18 months, and then, it just stopped. No reason, no explanation, no excuse. He just disappeared. Off the face of the earth. Okay? Now, this young lady, it took a long time for her to get over this experience. And thank God I spoke to her constantly on Facebook and emails and phone calls, you know, and thank God she's doing great, and she's moving forward with her life. But it's tough. It's really tough being rejected, especially if you don't know the reason. That's the worst one, right? At least when you've got a good reason, like, you smell. You know what I'm saying? That's like, I can handle that. You know, there's room for improvement. You know what I'm saying? I'm with that. But that's not a point, you know? So this young lady here this evening, she said I could use it, I'm not going to. She's a wonderful, adorable, young, beautiful woman, professional, and she works very hard with young children. And she just stopped out of nowhere. It took her a long time. That feeling of rejecting comes very, very painful. I want to share with you an idea because I want to help you through this. Okay? None of you have ever been rejected. You think you have. You haven't. It's all in your mind. Let me explain exactly what I mean by that. I'll ask someone, give me an example of rejection. And what they'll say to me, they went out with a guy, went on a date, he was so cute, went out with this girl, she was so nice, 1, 2, 3, 4 dates, 5, 8, 6, 10, 15, 20, and then he just called it off, it was done. You weren't rejected. Happens in life too. You apply for a job. Okay. That's another form of relationship. And you apply, you go for interview after interview, and then you reject it. How do you feel? I feel so bad. They don't want me. I'm so worthless. No one loves me. I'm never going to find anyone. We say it to ourselves. I'm never going to find that job, that relationship. It's in your mind. How can I prove it to you? I shall. It goes like this. You see, the difference is, when I ask someone what happened in this rejection, what happened? They'll give me a story. Well, I went out, and we went out 5 dates, 10 dates, 6 months, a year, and then what happened? It went over, how do you feel? Terrible. That's not what happened. You gave me a story. It's a good story, but it is just that, a story. I asked you what happened. What actually happened was, you put on some nice clothes, you went to a bar or restaurant, you had a conversation with someone, and then you came home. You applied for that job, you got rejected off the interview. Give me a whole story. I'm terrible, I'm useless, I'm worthless. Tony Skew at the time, who sent off an application, wrote some words on a piece of paper, it went off somewhere, he got another piece of paper back with some words on it. That's what happened. Now, we attach stories to that. We attach stories to our relationships. We attach stories to all these life events that hold us back, that destroy us, that bury us. And it's a problem. And most of us, when we go through life, are traveling through life, bearing with us all these scars and all these relationships and all these this is a girl I dated like 15 years ago, and I'm over it now, and I'm in therapy, but sometimes, you know, it gets a little bit heavy, yeah, and I've got another five I keep at home with me, and sometimes all around my apartment, and I'm just like dragging them with me. Put it down. Easy to say, I know. But it's a mind game. You won't reject it. What really happened? And what's the story I'm attaching to these things? By the way, this is not my words. The Rambam, Maimonides, a great Jewish thinker, I'm sure most of you realize, who I quote a lot, actually says that most of these reactions and relations go through are hevel. Hevel havalim. It's hevel. What's hevel? Hevel is the word for steam. Steam, you can see it, and you can feel it, but it's not really there. Okay? Handle rejection better. And finally, be honest. Be honest with yourself, be honest with others, and find an advisor to help you be honest. Because you need someone to help you through this. You have a doctor take care of your body, you've got a car mechanic take care of your car, right? You've got a lawyer for some reason to charge you lots of money, you've got a guy, you've got all these things, and all these other people, you need the same in relationships. It's good to have friends for that. For some, you need someone outside your... And your parents are good as well, but no one's good enough for my bubbler, right? No one's good for my little fella. No one can make my girl happy like we can. You have to go outside yourself and take honest advice. Every relationship that I've seen that's broken down, they've always said, you know what? People kept telling me that. There's a reason why. Because they were right and you weren't, okay? So we said, number one, don't be too picky. Two, considerate. Help single friends. Be considerate to other people, we said. Handle rejection better, one at a time. Those are seven good resolutions for all of us to start a year. May your daily life and married life start well. Thank you all very, very much. We have 60 seconds. Any questions at all? We'll take them now. Wow. Yes. 24 hours to get the call. And you should tell them that. You should mention the date. With all due respect, there's actually a line of guys. Can you say, what's your name?
Ali.
Beautiful, wonderful girl, right? I got a bunch of guys who want to date you. Do you mind, just within 24 hours, could you give me a call? That's called respect. If he doesn't, that's the problem.
But what if it's an underlying rule? Who calls you first?
You can make a decision. You're adults. How about this? How about we make a plan? Just like you decide who pays the bill at the restaurant, you can actually say, within 24 hours, you can call me or I'll call you. How about we call each other at the same time? You know what I'm saying? Well, I make a deal. I'm okay, you know? If you want, jokes aside, what you can do for the first three dates, you get to find a third person. This is what I do with my wife, right? And I actually had a... And we had a third person, and we didn't speak to this embarrassing. We don't know each other, we're not drifting. So we said, we go through a third party. And then we call them up, and we'll say to them, you know, I'm not interested, and they'll make the full phone call for you. That's actually okay. But 24 hours, is that enough time? I think so. Anyone got any other questions? Fantastic. You've been a beautiful, fantastic Jewish audience. Thank you all very, very much. What a pleasure.